Well, I see Ken in the loft up there. I wanted to wish he and a happy birthday. He's 22 today. Oh, no, that's Justin. That's right. Justin's 22 today. And but Ken and Justin, both father and son, have birthday this this Sunday. And we wish you guys a happy birthday. So let's, if you would, open your Bibles to our scripture memory passage for the month, and that passage is 2 Peter chapter 1, and the verses are 2, 3, and 4. We'll look at for a few moments as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. Always it's a time to remember Christ's sacrifice. As we come to the communion table, there's a remembrance of His death for us, and Scripture says, until He returns. So we look forward to that time of His return, and you'll remember at the supper that He said, I will no longer drink this wine until my return and until we are together again. So as He got ready to go to the cross, and as He got ready to be crucified for our sins, and after His resurrection and His ascension to heaven, there's a period of time of waiting until His return, when we will be gathered together as the bride of Christ, and we will celebrate again with Him the Passover in a new and a special way. But this morning, we're remembering those things. We're remembering that His return is imminent, that it could take place at any moment, any time. So we remember this ordinance because Christ instituted it, and He told us that we were to celebrate it. He didn't say how often, but to celebrate it regularly until He returns. Well, that's what we do this morning, and we want to just concentrate for a few moments upon the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion that we have with He and the Father and with one another because of His provision, and celebrate life today, the life that God has given to us. And so let's look in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. Here I'd like to look at this morning for a few moments. And it begins, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us, now this is our scripture memory verse for the month, so you'll want to get this one under your belt. It'll be a blessing to you. But seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. And what a powerful passage of Scripture, and a reminder to us of the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus, because He was willing to go to the cross and die and pay the just penalty for our sin in order that we as sinful people might have a relationship and fellowship with a holy and righteous God. And so we celebrate that this morning, and I want to address for just a few moments what it means, this knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And the phrase is actually kind of pretty much repeated twice there, but it's stated again in verse 3 where it says, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. And so this phrase of the knowledge of God, what it means to have the true knowledge of God, is what I'd like to meditate on for a few moments this morning. Because the passage here says that in this knowledge of God, in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, in the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence, there is a divine power that has been granted. And this relationship that we have with Jesus Christ that He accomplished on the cross of Calvary is absolutely essential and necessary for us as God's people to embrace that reality by faith and to know the benefit of this divine power that has been granted to us as His people, and to know the fullness of this new relationship and covenant that we celebrate this morning and that we enjoy on a daily basis for all eternity. God has given to you all things that pertain to life and godliness. It is accomplished by a divine power that has been granted in the new covenant. In this new covenant and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for your sins, there was a way provided, supplied, that when Jesus Christ rose from the grave as a resurrection over the power of death and ascended to the Father and is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high after the purification of our sins, there He, in the new covenant, sent His Holy Spirit to seal us and indwell us, that we might be sealed until the day of redemption. And that means until this sinful body, this body of sin and death, is crumbles and returns to the grave, or is resurrected and given mortality, is given immortality at the second coming of Jesus Christ, that until that time takes place, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit and brought into the fullness of that redemption in Christ Jesus. And that work of the Holy Spirit is the connection. It's that He, His Spirit, is indwelling His people, and that His Spirit has sealed us, and that Holy Spirit equips us. That same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead is a divine power within God's people. And we want to celebrate Christ's sacrifice, His work. We want to remember what He did on our behalf, that we might know the fullness of that divine power. For in the true knowledge, in this word true knowledge, it's epignosis. That's the Greek word, but it means a full relational and experiential intimate knowledge of something. It's more than just knowledge like the kind of knowledge you get out of a book. It's the knowledge that comes from an experiential and intimate, a personal relationship. So when it's speaking about the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, it's talking about an experiential relational type of knowledge of these persons, of the persons of the Trinity, God the Father and Jesus Christ. And it's this knowledge that, number one, it's been granted to us. So those of you that are taking notes, divine power in verse 3, seeing that His divine power has granted to us. This divine power, this covenant relationship has granted to God's people a divine power, the indwelling Holy Spirit, that we might have victory. His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary procured our salvation from the penalty of our sin, so that we're free from the penalty of death and separation from a holy God. But His divine power and the covenant has secured for us a relationship, an ongoing, living, vital relationship with the God who created us. And that's the glory and the benefit of our salvation in Jesus Christ. We celebrate it this morning and take joy that God has granted in His divine power, He has granted unto us this life. In fact, the Scripture says all things that pertain to life and godliness. And that's the second point. He has provided, He has granted or given to us. And that word granted, let me just give that to you, is the word for endowed. And it has the meaning of not just giving, but this abundant endowment, enablement that God has given. He's granted to us divine power. And secondly, that divine power, it includes all that is needed, all that pertain to life and godliness. It is it covers the entire gamut of life and godliness in the calling that God gave to each one of us, in the purposes for which we were created. God has supplied in Jesus Christ all of the divine power, all of it that is needed, all things that have been supplied for life and godliness for each one of you. And of course, our desire and our focus this morning should be, I want to embrace and to know the fullness of that divine power that Almighty God has given to me and supplied through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the table and the fellowship that we share is about. It's about that relationship with God that supplies divine power for all that is needed in life and godliness. You say, well, I don't feel like I've been given all that is needed for life and godliness. My life is a mess. I've been beaten up this week by things exterior, and I've been beaten up this week by things that are going on in my personal life. And my relationship, and some of us this morning as we came, our relationship is damaged. That the guilt of personal sin has made it as such that there seems to be no connection with our Lord and our Savior. And we need this morning, we need now, urgently, immediately, to be restored in that relationship. Well, those things have been supplied through Jesus Christ. Through the sacrifice that He made, you, as a sinful individual, regardless of what your sin has been this week, regardless of how separated you are, regardless of how far the guilt and iniquity of your sin, the path that you've taken has led you away from God, through Jesus Christ, He has supplied a way to bring you back to Himself, that He might have fellowship with you. And He desires that fellowship with you, and He longs for it so much that He was willing to go to the cross of Calvary and suffer the shame of the cross of Calvary for your sin. You don't have to carry the burden any longer. You don't have to bear those things and for that to stand before you and God any longer. The Scripture says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God will not only forgive the sin that has separated you from Him and has broken your fellowship with Him, God will cleanse that sin out of your life. That may not be a pleasant process, but God in His mercies loves you so much that He longs to draw you to Himself, to purge you as a sinner, and to fellowship with you in an intimate and personal way. That's all things that pertain to life and godliness. I don't care how bad your sin has been. The call of God for you this morning is that you by faith would know all the fullness of His forgiveness, that you by faith and trusting in the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ might know that forgiveness that He has brought. And so it says, the Bible says here that He has granted to you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Now, life is spiritual vitality. It's more than, you know, when we think about the you know, the definition of what it's meaning by all things that pertain to life. It's not just life breathing and like some of us do when we just kind of exist from day to day. But we're talking about the abundant life, the spiritual vitality that God intended when He created us, the spiritual vitality that has been granted through Jesus Christ, that has been accomplished when our sin has been removed and God, our loving Heavenly Father, has separated our sin as far as the east is from the west, so far as He separated our transgressions from us. Like as the Father pities His children, so the Lord has pitied those that fear Him. And as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His mercy over those whom He has called. And God's mercy and grace is sufficient for us. And so when we talk about life, we're talking about the spiritual vitality of a proper and right relationship with a holy God that God's people have and God's people know. And so it ought to put a smile on your face this morning. I don't know what challenges you may be enduring, but God's mercies, His supply is sufficient. It's all things that pertain to life and godliness. And let's meditate upon it. Let's glory in the majesty and grace and goodness and supply and provision of our Almighty God and Savior. It's the one safe place that God's people can go and flee to. It's the one place that God has intended for us where we can be nurtured and know the health and the goodness and all that is supplied that comes with life, spiritual vitality for the believer. And it's here, it's available for each one of us this morning by faith in Jesus Christ. As you have received Him, so walk ye in Him. By faith you embrace, you lay hold of what God has supplied, and only God can supply. Life eternal, spiritual vitality, all things that pertain to life and to godliness. You know what godliness is? You can jot this down in your notes, good little definition. Godliness is moral excellence. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's not only the spiritual vitality of knowing life and goodness of the God who created us, but it's the moral excellence of Jesus Christ. The Scripture says that God has predestined you. Now let me say this. I want you to listen to me. God has predestined you, and I want you to personalize it, to be conformed to the image of His Son. You know what that means? His moral excellence. His righteousness. His moral excellence is to be portrayed in His people. He is the vine and you are the branches. You are to display. You are the outward manifestation of the life that has been given in Jesus Christ. When He ascended and went to the Father, seated at the right hand, and when He had sent the Holy Spirit, the picture that is given in John chapter 15 is that there's the vine that flows through the Holy Spirit, and you are the branch, you're the physical manifestation of the person of Jesus Christ. And that moral excellence and righteousness is to be portrayed in your life, to be manifested through His people. That's what we're called to. That's who you are. That's who God predestined you to be, conformed to His image, living in this way. And so that moral excellence. John chapter 15 and verse 7 says this. These are Jesus' words, and this is the context of what He's talking about. Because He's talking about Him being the vine, and that there's no life. Without Him, we can do nothing. That life comes in connection through His Holy Spirit, through the covenant that He has supplied, and through this intimate relationship that we have with Christ, a knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. And in that intimate relation and knowledge, Jesus Christ had this to say: if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will and it shall be granted unto you. It's conditional. There's an abiding. It's Christ's life for mine. It's His life flowing through me. It's my life on the cross of Calvary by faith, dying there with Christ. All my sin, dead there with Him. It's His life being portrayed through me. His life, abiding in Him, so that when people are looking upon you, they're seeing Jesus Christ. You say, well, I can't do that. Absolutely. You simply cannot do it. There's nothing that you can do to accomplish that. But what does the Scripture say? He has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Divine power. It is divine power that will display Christ in your life. So if you're trying to do it, quit trying. Flee to the Lord Jesus. By faith, embrace Him. Embrace the cross of Calvary and know the fullness of that life that He will give. He will clean your life up. He will make you what you need to be. He will predestine you to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. For you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which He has before ordained. That's His plan for your life. That's what He craves. That's what He desires. That's what He longs for us as His people. Don't you long for it? Don't you want to know the fullness of that? That divine power in God's people, don't you long to see it in this world? Doesn't the world need to see it? Think of all the glory that we have if we simply embrace what Jesus Christ has taught us. If we love one another, by this shall all men know that we're His disciples. If we have the unity that Christ prayed for. Lord, Father, may they be one as we are one, that the world may know that You have sent me. The world will know. We will be evangelists. We will preach the message by our lives, by our unity, by our love for one another, by the work of God's Spirit in the life of God's people. God is able. It's divine power. It's not anything that we can do. We can't fabricate it, and I can't preach it into you. The Holy Spirit has to convict you by faith that this is the attainable goal. That God's Word, that His promises are true. So I want to make the point. It is conditional. Point three, it's conditional. It's conditional. It's not by works that we have done. It's not by the energy of the flesh or anything that we can fabricate. But it is by faith in the promises of God. Look at what it says. Let's go back to the verse. For all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Now notice that it says in verse 4, for by these, now that's His glory and excellence, by Christ's moral excellence, by His righteousness, by His provision on the cross, by His glory in the crucifixion and resurrection that took place, God, through these, and for by these He has granted. Now, there's that word again, same word. He's granted or given to us precious and magnificent promises. Okay, now here's the conditional aspect. Promises given are either received by faith or not. And those are the things we've been talking about in the book of Hebrews. In fact, as we get into chapter 4 next Sunday, we'll look at what it means to come to rest, to know rest. And rest is, just to summarize it very quickly, is the embrace by faith of the promises that God gives, and to embrace those promises in such a way that you are resting in them, and by faith believing in such a way that this divine power is accomplishing all things that pertain to life and godliness in our lives. How is it accomplished? By faith in the promises of God. Is it conditional? Yes. But it's there. And it's real. God has not lied to you. His Word is not lying to you. The provision of it is there for each one of us. And we can know the fullness of this relationship with God, the fullness of this covenant that we celebrate this morning in Jesus Christ. It is conditional on the promises that He gives. But if Christ abides in you, and His Word, His promises abide in you, then you shall ask what you will. And there's not anything that God will not and cannot do to glorify Himself through you. This is our goal. This is our pursuit. This is what Paul, the apostle, pressed on for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that he might know the fullness of Hebrew rest. The book of Hebrews rest that it's talking about, where the believer by faith embraces the promises of God and the reality of the divine power works the divine nature of Christ in people that are sinful and lost and have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. A wonderful provision thing that God has given. Let me give you a couple more points here. It is attained by faith in the promises of the Word of God. That's your fourth point. And then fifthly, okay, I'll give you a little bit of time with that. It's attained by faith in the promises of God. It's a point I just made. By faith, not by works of that we have done. Paul said, I take no confidence in the flesh. And the quicker we understand that, the more likely we are to live the godly Christian life. Because we can't do it. The flesh can't be fixed. The flesh needs to go. Our old man needs to go to the cross of Calvary by faith, die there with Jesus Christ, that the life and the power and the divine nature of God might be displayed through us. There's no other way. No confidence in the flesh. Take no confidence in what you can do. You see, because as we get going in the Christian life, it's inevitable. Every one of us do it. We start to depend and think, oh, I can handle this. You know, in my flesh, I'm able. And you'll never be able. You'll always be utterly dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon His grace. And so, be encouraged. It is attained by faith in the promises of His Word. No other way. And so, you will think in your mind that you can handle it, but you cannot. And you must know, by faith, embrace the power of God at work within us if we're to know the full realities that God has given to us in Christ Jesus. And let's go back to the verse. In verse 4, He has given to us these great and precious promises in order that by them you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, this accomplishes the purposes of the divine power, God working in us, Christ providing this covenant that the Holy Spirit might come and dwell in you and me and in us together as the bride of Jesus Christ. The purpose was that He might accomplish this partaking of the divine nature. The divine power accomplishes the partaking or the fellowship. That word is koinonia. That's a word for koinonia that means fellowship. The partaking means the fellowship of the divine nature that we have in us, not because we are gods like the New Age movement, but because God, through Christ Jesus, has regenerated us and made us new creatures, and we are partakers of His divine nature. The Holy Spirit has come to indwell God's people. He's separate from us, and yet we are united eternally with Him. The Holy Spirit has united us eternally with the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We know and have fellowship with Him, and it's reason for rejoicing. So God's purpose in giving and supplying divine power is that we might know the divine nature and experience the divine nature. This we celebrate. So I want to ask the men to come. And I want you to bow your heads. Take a moment of time. Maybe you came in this morning with some serious baggage. It's a time to pray and ask God to forgive you of your sin, to confess your sin, that you might come before His table, know the fullness of His indwelling Holy Spirit. For He has met with you here this morning to rejuvenate your life. To supply that spiritual vitality that comes through Jesus Christ. It's why we celebrate it. It's why we remember it, that He has given this. It's granted to you. Embrace it by faith. take just a moment to confess any known sin. And men, if you'll come forward, we'll celebrate communion together.